Hi, thanks for joining us on Hometown to Hollywood. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide, and today my guest on this podcast is Melanie Paxson. Melanie has almost 40 film and TV roles to her credit, but she is best known for her role as the fairy godmother on Disney Descendants and Descendants 2, as well as Dolly, Walt Disney's secretary on Saving Mr. Banks. Her guest star appearances include roles on series including The Drew Carey Show, Rules of Engagement, CSI Crime Scene Investigation, Joey, Medium, and Last Man Standing. She's also the Red Robin Burger Mama. Melanie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Bonnie. This is so cool. You know what? I am now done being the Burger Mama, but I still love me some burgers from Red Robin.
I do too. Well, I'm going to have to call you the former Burger Mama.
Former Burger Mama. That's so funny. I love that.
Former Burger Mama. That's a resume item. Well, so Melanie, when did you know that you wanted to be an actor?
I knew at a young age. And I say 8 or 9, and I just knew. I don't know what it was. It was just in me. And I thought, I am going to go act. And I loved musicals. My mother would always play Barbara Streisand on, you know, the record player. And I would try to imitate her. It was hideous. But my mother would be like, that is really good. I was like, thanks, Mom.
Well, encouragement's important.
Oh, they are so encouraging, my mom and dad. And I was, I was so lucky in that sense that they very much encouraged me to act. And then at a young age, I auditioned for Annie at our local theater, and I didn't get it. And three of the most talented singers I know to this day got it. One of them is Alison Krauss. It was in that Annie in Champaign, Illinois.
That's crazy.
I know. It's so crazy. There's a lot of talent there in Illinois.
Yeah.
When I think about it, yeah.
There does seem to be clusters sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like maybe there's areas that like sort of nurture and foster it, or...
That's true. It was a university town, U of I, and there was a lot of music and a lot of theater and a lot of art for such a small town. And we lived outside of that small town, but it was right there for us.
Mm. So who inspired you?
It's interesting. I just brought up the Annie, and the kids, the talent that was in my town, Anne-Marie Bully, her name is now Anne-Marie Morissette, and Yvette Cattaneo. Yvette lives on the East Coast, and she's this incredible opera singer. Like, there was so much talent, and the teachers were so passionate that they really did inspire me. And then having my mom and dad, they were so encouraging. And then after, you know, graduating from college, I did some shows at Steppenwolf, and I will say that Martha Plimpton, I just think she's such a great actor and so very different than me. Like, she's so grounded and I'm so sprightly. Like, I don't land on the ground, but she's just so different. I'm like, that blows my mind. So just many actors are inspirational to me. The kids on Descendants, like I was saying earlier to you, they blow my mind and they inspire me.
I feel the same way. It's interesting because I love to hear the different ways that people answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not always the case that your real inspiration is someone you've never met who's on the silver screen. It is often the case that it's somebody you know in your community.
Oh, for sure.
Who just literally genuinely inspires you and makes you feel like something that you want might be possible.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And now I'm thinking about like college. My professor, Jim Miller, and there were many professors that were very inspiring, but there's just so much talent everywhere. And I feel like I got really lucky with the people that I met throughout my life. Very artistic people, especially growing up in such a small town. You would think that, you know, that might not be the case, but it was.
Well, we're from a small town, and it was overwhelmingly loaded with talented people.
Right.
You know, talented, okay. Creative people.
Yes.
You know, like, it seemed disproportionate.
Yeah, that's how I felt. Like, mm-hmm. I was part of the theater and the music program, and I was not, like, we weren't the nerds. We were, but, like, everybody was a part of the music program in our high school because it was such a great program.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Reflecting,
I think there is
on
this,
that.
Yeah, I think there's this sort of inherent assumption about small places that, you know, they don't probably have much in the way of talent. But my experience is that that is just not the case.
Yeah.
You know, talent really, really is everywhere. Well, so then you went on and you got a bachelor's degree in theater, mm-hmm. from the University of Missouri. How important do you think that that's been to your success, that university-level theater education?
That's a good question. I think that, for me, it was just so great to be on the stage. And we had incredible professors. And one of my favorite memories is we did the show Assassins, and we took it up to... I'm blanking on the name of the competition, but took it up to Minneapolis and competed against other college plays or college performances. And it was a really incredible experience, and we performed on this huge stage, but also the stage that we had at Mizzou was incredible, and there was so much talent there. John Hamm and I went to college together.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, he came in at like, I think his junior year, but he was in the theater program, and we did Assassins together, and that was, that's really fun seeing his career just blow up.
You know, there's a lot of debate among young actors, and when I say young actors, I mean kids who are in high school and on the verge of having to make that decision about, do I go to college and study theater, or do I just straight go for it professionally, maybe with some, you know, non-college type theater training, you know, in acting schools or whatever, and there's a lot of anxiety around that. And I just read a study somewhere, I've got to chase down who published this. I feel like it was on Backstage.
Okay.
That was looking at the sort of maybe under 30 award nominees for something this, mm-hmm. season, and what was their training? Are they university trained or not? And it split out to be close to 50-50, which I found really interesting.
It is interesting because I think it's a very individual thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, it gave me a lot of confidence because it was a small program and I got to do a lot of stage work, and so I had that confidence and experience being on stage, and that was really helpful for me. I think what it is beneficial about going to studying theater in college is that you do get that stage experience, but it's not film experience unless you're going to a film school, mm-hmm. which I'm sure is very beneficial, you know, learning your marks and your lighting and finding your light.
Well, and acting for the stage is a bit different than acting for the camera.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And I can, when I'm watching shows now, like we were just talking earlier about all the incredible TV that is out there on Netflix and Hulu, and I see who's been stage trained, and, or I don't know if that's correct, but
yeah,
like,
has a background with,
yeah.
stage acting,
and then who comes from film. Both have worked very hard and are both very talented. I'm thinking of a particular show that I've just recently watched, and it's very interesting seeing it unfold on camera.
Well, and then the other upside to going to college, and you know, I'm kind of delving into this because it's fun to get to talk to somebody who did that, because
yeah.
I know so many, you know, young actors, and
sure.
like they got started early enough that that's not in the cards for them, probably, and so we can't even have this conversation.
Sure.
But you also get the college experience, and you get all those other classes, and it's like it does something for you as a human being that you may miss out on otherwise.
I think you're right about that. I mean, I went to a very traditional school. I was in a sorority. I went to football games. I mean, I did mainly stay in the theater because I loved it and I was always doing a play. But it was really nice to have those friends outside of the theater as well. And I'm still friends with many of them. That's a really special experience. And also, like, in your... It was a very traditional experience, mm-hmm. you know, with the fraternities and sororities and football games.
Yeah. I don't think there's a right way or a wrong way to do this, but it's just they're different.
They are different.
And the more you understand about, you know, what the upside and the downside of your choices might be, the better choice you can make for yourself.
Yeah. You know, that just made me think. I have a friend who ran, she's the actress I was just telling you about who just got the show on Verizon 90, and I don't know the name of the show, but she did not study theater. She was a runner, and she could sing. So right after she graduated college, so she ran in college. She did very well in school. And then after college, she, on a whim, auditioned for to be a singer on a cruise ship and traveled the world, you know, or part of it at least, and then moved to Chicago and started acting. But she had all this life experience, and she was a runner, and she was a singer, and those are things that, I mean, you meet people who are lawyers that are actors, and doctors that are actors, and so it's like, the more life experience that you have as an actor only helps you in your performances.
I agree. I always counsel people to please, please, please develop other skills. I mean, it makes you more castable, for one thing, on a basic level.
Yeah.
It makes you a better human being. And it just gives you more to draw from.
Exactly.
You know, if your life experience consists only of, you know, acting, 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 it's like that gets kind of thin sometimes.
It does. Although I will say, I think that you were talking about Thomas, mm-hmm. who studied at a conservatory. I think that that's brilliant because you're learning dance technique. You're becoming a dancer. You're becoming an actor, and you're training your voice as a singer. So I think that that's like, that's a really special thing mm-hmm. to be mm-hmm. that trained. I think that's well worth the time.
I do too. And I think that typically it really shows
it
when
does.
People have invested in that level of training.
It does. I wonder if it's too late for me.
No, it is never too late. It's never too late.
I might become a professional dancer.
Why not?
I swear, I wish I would have trained as a young kid.
There's dance studios all over the place here in my neighborhood.
I know. There's a great one in North Hollywood.
Yeah.
And isn't it called like...
You think of Millennium? I think they just moved closer to your neighborhood.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Debbie Reynolds.
That's here too. Yeah, there's a bunch of them. Really good ones. Top notch.
Oh.
It's not too late. So then after your university, you got more training at Second City, mm-hmm. and you performed with another renowned theater troupe, Steppenwolf. So can you compare and contrast the training you got at those two places versus, which are really legendary, amazing places, versus university?
It's very important to continue taking classes, you know, or before you get that first job.
No matter whether you do university or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Second City was incredible. And I didn't really know improv. And I would say I'm not an improviser, even though I do come from Chicago, which is like so rich in improv. But I took the classes and they were great, but, I mean, that's a muscle that I don't have and kind of that's not what I do.
But it probably still helped, right?
Maybe. Oh, for sure. Like when I go to my commercial auditions, so often we're improvising, mm-hmm. but it gets intimidating when you're like in the presence of a true improviser and I'm like, yeah, where are you going? I'll just sit and listen to you. Be funny. In fact, I was there when, I took classes and I was in Chicago when Steve Carell and Tina Fey and Rachel Dratch and Stephen Colbert, they were on the main stage and I would go there a lot and watch them and it was just so incredible.
That is a very distinct skill set, but I know a ton of casting directors who really love it when their actors have some kind of improv training.
Oh, for sure.
It just makes them so much more fluid, because you know how it is when you're shooting a scene and a director's like, okay, now do it this way. It's like, but I didn't rehearse it that way.
Right, exactly. Oh, I think it'd be so much fun to do a movie or a show that was improvised a lot. Like, you have your certain beats that you need to hit, but it'd be fun to be really loose with the dialogue. I think that would be a lot of fun to do, and I've never really been on a show like that, but that would be fun.
Okay, universe, putting it out there.
Oh, yes, I like that.
So, you're originally from Illinois.
Yes.
How and when did you make your way out to L.A.?
So, I was in Chicago, and I was doing a show called Cupid with Paula Marshall and Jeremy Piven, and I can't remember how many episodes I did, but I was recurring on that show, and I played a secretary on there. I was Paula Marshall's secretary, and she said, it was called Cupid, did I say that? And it was for ABC, and it got canceled, and so we learned that it was canceled, and we were all very bummed, and she said to me, move out to LA, I will introduce you to my agent. And I said, okay, I will do that. Like, and it happened like that, and it unfolded effortlessly. So I met with her agent, they signed me, and then, I had a good friend, Ryan McPartland, who introduced me to my manager. He was on Chuck. He's a good-looking guy. And a great actor. He played football with my younger brother at U of I.
That's so cool.
Yes. He introduced me to his manager. I signed with them, and then I went back to Chicago for 2 months to do a play at Steppenwolf, and then came out here. So I moved out here, and right after I finished the play in July of '99, and I worked a ton then. I got my first pilot that year, and that's funny. I got my first pilot, and Melissa McCarthy was in it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and she was already brilliant. I mean, obviously, she was so brilliant. She had done this short film kind of before people did short films. You know, it was right at the beginning of producing your own material, and she did this great short film, and I can't remember the name of it, but she's brilliant.
That's exciting. So we don't have to say how old you were at that point, but let's just say you were not 18 anymore when you came out to LA, right?
No, I was 26.
That's great.
Yeah, so I wasn't a baby. And I did think, I mean, I know I do play young and I sound young, so that
you
probably
do.
Helped.
You look just crazy young.
Well, thank you. I guess. Why is that a thank you? I don't know.
Well, it's a thank you because of our culture.
I know. We are. That's okay.
We've all internalized it. It's what it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is funny coming out to LA, being 26. I kind of did think that, actually, no, I was nice and delusional and just thought, it is what it is. It's all perfect. And then I worked a ton, from 26 to about, 35. Then it slowed down a bit, and since I've had my son. And I think because I really just want to be with my kid. I think I jumped forward a bit just now.
That's okay. But that's all good.
But, I got two TV series. One was Happy Family with John Larroquette and Christine Baranski, and that was incredible, and it was multicam, and so it's like you're doing theater. That was so much fun. Let's put that out to the universe that I want another show at CBS Radford, multicam.
Yeah, down the street from where you live.
Yes, exactly. I lived in Brentwood at the time, so I was like taking the 405 to the 101.
Not fun.
Yeah, they need to make a song about the 405 to the 101 to the 134. Like,
SNL has kind of done that with the Californians already, but...
Wait, what?
Oh, SNL has this
Yes, exactly.
They talk about the freeways.
I know. It makes me giggle so hard. I know. Because I think America's learning about the 405. 405 and the 5 and the, but it is so funny.
They're like entities of themselves. Yeah. And of themselves.
In fact, when I first moved out here, somebody said, we were talking about driving, and I was like, okay, so I get on 10, and they were like, oh, you're new here, aren't you? And I'm like, uh-huh, how'd you know? Yeah.
Yeah, the 10.
The 10.
So, good, all right, universe, hope you're listening.
Yeah, CBS well, Radford. I love CBS Radford.
It sounds like that the whole, you know, finding an agent and a manager that is often such a stumbling block for people was just smooth as silk for you. And you came here at 26 and just landed on your feet and things really happened. And that's exciting to hear because a yeah. lot of people feel like if they don't get started by the time they're 18, it's not going to happen. And it's just so not true.
No, especially today. But I think of Julia Child, just whatever. And she became who she was at 50.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 30, 40 years ago.
And back then 50 was like
yes.
60.
Yes.
You know.
Or yeah. 63 and a half. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. That's trying to be funny.
50 is the new...
63 and a half. Anyway, so that always inspires me. And also seeing my girlfriends, you know, they worked and then they had children and now they're going back and working and they're incredible. Like, you can be unstoppable if you are unstoppable, no one's going to stop you but yourself,
yes.
you know?
And you can have a life also.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Be a successful working actor.
Exactly.
I love that.
I mean, there are so many different areas you can, you know, work. You can do commercials, which has been very good to me. TV's been very good to me. And now I want to start doing more voiceover work. I love it. And it's its own thing. It's its own division and talent, and it's hard to get into voiceover work.
But it's really fun, and it could pay really well.
Pays very well. I mean, it all pays very well, and then it doesn't pay well. You know, it's that sort of thing.
Well,
feast or famine.
Yeah, but we're all trying to pay the rent at the end of the day.
Yes.
So, do you have any auditioning advice for people? Because you put in your time auditioning at this point.
I mean, that's my job. As I audition. And I will say for commercials, I am just free and it's fun for me. I think, oh, it's funny. I asked Martha Plimpton because I worked with her on The Real O'Neills and we did a show at Steppenwolf together. So we kind of saw each other again. So I told her, I'm like, you're one of my favorite actresses. I asked her what her method was because she's just so good, in my opinion. She goes, you know what? I have fun. Like, I just have fun. And it was more than that. But in my head, I'm like, oh, right, I get that. Because when I'm auditioning for commercials, there's a freedom that I have. And I'm not attached to the outcome. I am truly just having fun at the auditions. And also, like, you see your girlfriends, and then we are all taking care of each other's children. And it's just an easy, you know, audition atmosphere. Now, to audition for TV, guest stars, and when you're testing for something, I find that to be just crazy stressful. Not movies, but really just TV.
Why do you think it's different?
Well, I mean, I don't have as much experience with movies, but for some reason, with movies, it feels a little bit more effortless. Like, you go in, you audition for producers, and then a month later, you find out you got the job. But with TV, if you're auditioning for a series regular, and this is old-fashioned, because I know they don't do this anymore, but you go into a small office. When I tested for Happy Family, we went into a small office at NBC, and there were like 20 execs there, and you do your whole audition in this very small room, and it's so nerve-wracking.
Disney still operates that way. I think
a number of
networks still operate that way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, because I know that they're starting to film or tape the auditions and send it to studio and then send it on to network.
But if it's a high-stakes thing, a lot of the time they want to be in the room when it gets down to the last couple of choices.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
So, yeah, that's not easy.
It's so stressful. It's so stressful and strange.
It is. It's very, very contrived. Well, so what are your methods for keeping your focus when you do that?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a while since I've tested, but I just kind of stay by myself. I go to a corner of you know, the hallway, or I stand, I'm by myself. I'll take a moment to talk, but then I go by myself, and I just go over my lines, and I just keep going over my lines. Mm-hmm. And I'm by myself a lot. I can't really relax and have fun.
Well, commercials are really different from theatrical.
Oh, for sure.
Of, like, the energy of what you bring into an audition.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you just stay focused, and that's you stay, yes, like, focused on what you're there to do.
Yes. And I just run my lines. Yeah. I wonder what other people do.
You'll have to listen to the podcast.
I guess I am. Yeah. That's exciting.
People have different, really different, varied ways of approaching an audition, and that's always fun to hear, like, well, what do you do? Because there's every different way to do it, and the question is, well, what works for you? You know, what works for you might not work for somebody else, but it's fun to kind of share that stuff, because you just never know where you're going to pick up something that makes a difference.
Exactly.
For you. What has surprised you about this whole adventure?
What has surprised me?
Yeah, yeah.
That I actually worked. Honestly, like, I'm a girl I am just your average girl with, you know, in my, you know, and I come from a very small town. I think, yeah, and I just thought, oh, I'm, this is what I'm going to do. And I did it. And, you know, one thing led to another and to another. And then you have a career and you have footage for your reel. But yeah, I look back and I think, oh wow, I'm shocked that I actually worked.
A lot. You've worked a lot.
I mean, yeah. You know, even if it's in most of it's been in commercial world. But yeah, that it is so weird. And people will ask, how did you do it? And I will say, like, I don't know how you do it. I don't know where you start, but, like, doors will open, you go through that door, and then another door opens, and then it's just, it's gradual for some, and not gradual for others. Like, it's like they take off
typically
right away.
When it looks like it's not gradual, it really is more gradual than it looks. We just weren't paying attention to the little steps.
Touché. Yeah. That's so true.
Yeah.
and when people, you know, get a TV series that's a huge hit, and they're like, where'd you come from? And they're like, oh, I've been pounding the pavement for years.
Yeah,
now.
And that stuff doesn't always show up on IMDb.
No,
you know,
it doesn't.
Like, I was talking to Garrett Clayton a couple of months ago, and he, what do you know him from? He was in the Teen Beach series. And,
oh, yes, he's younger.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He did a whole bunch of stuff. He's just incredibly talented.
Wow.
And he came out here, and for 2 years, he was working the night shift from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. in a restaurant as a waiter so that he could be free during the day to audition. 2 years of that. Well, that doesn't show up on any sort of IMDb thing. You know, the dues that you're paying to be available for that big break, you know?
Oh, my gosh. I know.
And he's done a lot of stuff since then, and he's doing a lot of really big things now. I saw him with Al Pacino at the Pasadena Playhouse earlier this year. But it's just like, that stuff doesn't always show up on IMDb, but that doesn't mean it's not part of the journey to
have
it happen.
Oh, it's part of the journey. And that's what is smart about starting young, is because you do have more energy, and my drive was just like so focused, and I, you know, you don't need as much sleep.
Mm-mm.
Now I need my sleep.
It helps when you're younger.
It does.
So what do you think is important and not important for success? And when I say success, I mean success in any sense you want to answer that in, like success in life, success in this industry.
Success. That's a really good question. What is important to success? I think, I don't know if this is answering your question, but for me, family is important. I'm very close to my family, and I really like like my husband a lot, and I totally dig my son, and I just think that keeps you grounded, and that's what's real in life. Like when I shoot a commercial, it's meticulous, and it's all about the product, and it's about holding that product in the right light and going over that, like doing that 20 times, 20 takes. And so the final product of that commercial might be funny, but it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of like takes. And in fact, I think commercial work is the hardest of all of them. Because you're not really acting. You don't get to play in that world as much. But my point was, so that is work. So you get up early and you are working. And I think people do think it's very glamorous. My Midwestern accent just came out. Very glamorous. And it is. But also because you get your makeup done and your hair done, and that's fun. But it is really work, and you need to show up, you need to be early, and you need to be focused. So I think what is real in life is, you know, your family, the service that you do, that's what is real. And that is what I think is so important. Your family, your friends, just that community. Because at the end of the day, it is work, and it's super fun, you know, at times, and it's a lot of work.
Yeah. No, the work thing is real. You just jogged a thought that I had that I'd love to explore for a second. So you have really done a ton of commercials, really, really successful with commercials, mm-hmm. as well as TV, and there aren't a lot of actors running around who have, you know, a similar body of work, you know, that you do in terms of like lots of commercial success and lots of theatrical success. I personally feel like there's not a lot of relationship between those two things, that they're pretty distinct, that commercial work doesn't really lead to film and TV and vice versa. Do you want to share on that in terms of your experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's kind of like, it's interesting. So I think once Tina Fey sort of became known and her writing became very popular, and then because it's brilliant, she's one of my favorites, and then also Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy, I think once they became big stars, things shifted in the industry, and it trickles down to the commercial world. And so they started looking for funny people. We talked about this earlier, or maybe about having improv. Yeah. That is something that the commercial casting directors love to see is, oh, that person's funny, bring them in, you know.
Because maybe you'll do something that's not in the script, but that's even better.
Right. Of course. I mean, maybe. But, and that's another thing that became, they can't ask you to improvise because things have happened where there are stories, that they've taken the words of one actor and put it in the commercial.
And they don't get a writing credit.
Oh my gosh. They wouldn't.
Yeah.
They wouldn't. And they don't call it improv anymore. So I'm not sure what they call it. I should know that. But, so you said it doesn't translate. No, it's a very different thing. Yeah. Commercials.
They're really, really, really different worlds.
It's a different sort of art.
Yeah, it is a different art. I mean, it's definitely a different art in my eyes. And, you know, you could be incredibly successful with commercials and just never have, I mean, it's not like that's going to lead to opportunities in film and TV. Or vice versa, because they're just like, I can think of a bunch of film and TV actors that would probably be just lousy at doing commercials.
Right.
Right? Because they don't have that particular skill set down.
It's true.
Yeah.
I want to go back because I brought up Tina Fey and mm-hmm. Melissa McCarthy. So I will say a lot of people from like UCB and a lot of the improv groups here in LA do commercials, and you do see a lot of those actors going from the funny commercials to TV or film or whatever.
But they're well-known actors at that point.
Not necessarily.
No?
But a lot of them start at UCB. They do book commercials, and they are very funny, and then you start seeing them in TV and in film.
All right. So maybe a loose association.
Yes. Well, yes. But also they've been training, and they are writers. The improvisers are writers, and they create their own content as well.
Not so a bad it's not, skill set
oh,
to have.
Oh, my gosh. You have to.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, but you need to. It's a really smart thing to do.
It helps. It just gives you that much more opportunity. If you can create your own content, for sure. Especially
and
these
control.
Days.
Yeah, over your career. Yeah.
Yeah. Control is a nice thing, especially in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
When you landed in Hollywood, mm-hmm. and you were 26, you're from Chicago area, mm-hmm. Illinois, what was that like?
It was overwhelming. The traffic was overwhelming for me. And we had Thomas Guides back then. And so for those of you who don't know what a Thomas Guide is, it's a thick map.
It's like a book.
It's a book. It's a book.
It's a book. A spiral brown fat book.
Fat book. I can't. And so I would find myself pulling over to the side of the road and looking up like, it was so complicated, this map, and you had to have it. And so that's a big thing that I found difficult, was driving in this city. And also, like, sort of finding your community. So getting into a theater, I think, is very important. Or even, like, I remember I met my husband at work at a restaurant. And he was a server and I was a hostess. And I loved all those people at the restaurant that I worked at. But finding community is very important and also kind of hard because, you know, we live far from one another. Your friends that move from Chicago to LA are living in Los Feliz and you're living in Brentwood. And so, you know, it takes a while to meet up with friends. But now that there is Waze,
yeah,
it's a lot easier.
We love Waze.
Oh my goodness. I mean, you're not even going to have the problem that I had.
No, it's crazy. When we moved here 7 years ago, I was told I had to get a Thomas Guide.
What?
I know. It was
7 years ago. Wait, let me think.
Waze
no
wasn't
way.
Out. None of the apps were out. You could
oh,
get
they
a
weren't.
No. You could get a GPS like a Garmin, and I had one of those. Little
oh,
did
right,
I know
right,
that
right,
I
right.
Meant I didn't need the Thomas Guide anymore. Now I'm sure they're probably out of business.
Poor thing.
For anybody who's listening, the app we're talking about is Waze, Waze, and it's the best darn way to get around LA. I use it even when I know exactly where I'm going, and it's a short trip because it will keep me from getting stuck in like traffic from an accident or something, because it's updated in real time. And anyone who moves to LA, just do yourself a favor
and get Waze.
Get
so
Waze
it's not
out.
All over the country, Waze.
You know, I think it probably is, at least in all the major cities. But I just know that LA in particular is transformed if you're using Waze.
It is transformed. And what's cool is you get to see parts of the city that you never saw before. So you're going up a canyon. Going from, you know, the Grove, which is a fantastic place to shop, to, you know, the Valley. And I've started taking this new canyon, and I can't think of the name of it, but it's lovely.
It's
it takes
pretty.
You right up to Mulholland.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is amazing. I'm getting home in 30 minutes. 40 minutes, not an hour. Now, one thing that's difficult is going from the Valley to the West Side.
Yeah, that's not fun, no matter what.
In the morning.
Mm-hmm.
2 o'clock is okay. Is this the kind of stuff they want to know?
Sometimes. I mean, you know, auditions come when they come. But yeah, like, you know, if you have a choice about when you go from A to B, it can make a big difference if you can avoid rush hour. And if you can't, you just have to kind of plan.
The time. An hour at least.
Yeah.
I always think, okay, I need to leave an hour before.
And that's just a fact of life of living in LA. That isn't a fact of life in a lot of other places, so that can be a surprise.
No, especially when you'll look on Waze and you'll see 7 miles away, 55 minutes.
Yeah, and you're like, oh.
Because do you know La Brea is 200 South La Brea, which is where there are a ton of commercial auditions. It is, I think, 6.7 miles away from my house.
Should be quick.
I could be wrong.
Should be quick.
It should be 10 minutes.
Yeah, no.
Never.
So, yeah, that's one of the surprises of landing in Hollywood. Have you had any challenges?
Heck yeah. Daily. Daily. Because, you know, it's partly my fault that I am not creating my own content. But for whatever reason, I find it so very intimidating. That's not to say I won't start creating my own content.
It's never too late.
Never too late. Never. Yeah, I mean, it can be a rough city to live in because there is that lack of community. And I feel very lucky to be married to a really great guy that I really, really like and love. But I'm just like, I like him so much. And then my kid, I just like him so much. And now that I have a child, my community is our school. And I totally dig the people at our school. So wait, the challenges, right. So it's, community is hard. Mm-hmm. And I feel super lucky to have a kid and to be a part of that community. But again, you can find that at UCB, in any theater program, at different churches or programs, meetings, if you will. Mm-hmm. You can find community, and that's very important.
So be intentional about community. Yeah,
I think so. Because it got really lonely at the beginning, and then because also when you start making a living as an actor, you're not getting auditions every day. So it's like trying to fill that space. A lot of actors at my level are not busy enough with auditions. So it is about filling. I mean, it's a real thing. Like, a lot of my commercial actress friends, they struggle with the time that they have. I know it sounds really
this is an actor's issue. This is an issue for actors. It absolutely is. And this, again, to me, points toward, like, gee, maybe try on creating some content, because that could give you something meaningful to do with your days in between auditions. That could lead to something.
Well, I know I need to recreate content, but I have recently melted crayons into new molds, if you saw my Instagram.
I did, and it was really cool.
I will say, and now I'm kind of joking about that, but they were all the old disgusting crayons from the end of the school year that the after-school care teacher was about to throw out, and I was like, no, I'm going to save the earth. Let me take those. And I just packed them all up. I'm taking them to the school today. But I'm sure I used a ton of water to wash them off. And then, like, the gas that I used in the stove, I'm sure that I'm not saving the planet. But I know my intention was real sweet at the beginning.
Yeah, well, real and it pure. Was creative and satisfying.
And no, that's, and that's
what
the
our
thing.
Days need to look like.
Well, and something that, for me, I love to do is design. So, and I love, I'm very much into home design and so finding that other thing that you can do if it isn't writing your own content, find something that fills you artistically.
That feeds your soul.
Yes, exactly.
That's important. So the life of an actor, as you say, your job is actually auditioning.
It is. Mine is. Not everyone is.
Oh, I know a lot of actors who would say that about themselves. Like, actually, my job is auditioning. That's what I do. That's what actors do.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually a really good, healthy way to hold it, because it's basically true.
It is.
So why fight about that and say, well, you know, it's what I do until I, you know, till I get what I want to do. No, it's auditioning. It's your job. But inevitably, that means a fair amount of rejection from just a numerical standpoint. Mm-hmm. Like, you audition, you don't always get what you audition for. So how do you handle that? What's your method for holding that so that you get up and you can do it again the next day?
Mm-hmm. You just don't hold on to the outcome ever. And I think the older you get, I think at a young age, I didn't hold on to the outcome, and I just had fun. And I remember my dad always saying, you know, they say you're going to have to go to 100 auditions before you book that one job. And so in my head, I was always like, oh, okay, so I'm going to be auditioning a lot before I book that job. Yeah, I never assume I'm going to get the job. Now, there'll be auditions where I fall in love with the character, and I'm like, this is so much fun. This is me. Oh, I want this job. So that's always a bummer when you don't get those jobs, because that happens a lot, too. But for the most part, you know, I assume I'm not going to get the job.
Well, it sounds like you've got a really healthy sort of perspective on it, and it's truly, actually, I think Dove had about 100 auditions before things started to kind of fall in place for her. And I think if you hold it, like, you know, it's just going to take, you know, I'm in here for the long haul.
Oh yes, you know, for sure.
It's going to take a while, and then once you start to get stuff, that still doesn't really change. You still have to keep auditioning, and you still don't get most of what you audition for. So finding a way to be at peace with that is critical.
That's where community comes into play. That's where...
Hey, Fern. Hi. That's Fern's cameo.
Hi, Fern. Oh, yeah. Just a baby. Community.
Yeah.
It's very important. Because, like, that's what this city lacks, in my opinion. I look at my cousins who live in Nashville, and I'm like, that sounds so easy and lovely, and I know it's not, but it just sounds easier. So that can be the tough part of living in this city. Also, like, with age, you know, it's not as important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I love to work. I do. But it's just, I think that, you know, my family's more important. Although I see my son growing up so quickly. He's about to be in college, I'm sure, before. He's 7. But, I mean, I see it going quickly, and I'm like, oh, okay, so... Keep your job, Melanie. Keep your day job.
Yeah.
Keep auditioning for commercials, although it is slowed down. Commercials have slowed down in the last year and a half.
Interesting.
It's strange. And it could just be for me, but I talked to my agent, and he really did say, he's like, it is very different. It's very different right now.
Well, and that's the thing that people need to kind of also, I think, bear in mind, is that this industry... Like all industries, mm-hmm. but maybe more than most, is changing. Change is, like, especially because of the way technology is affecting it, and the different ways that content is being both created and consumed. It's changing faster than ever. So what made sense even 10 years ago may be largely obsolete now. And you just have to kind of be cool with rolling with that and adapt as you go.
Yeah.
Not easy. Not easy.
Yeah, and also, you know, our union is shifting, hopefully, and they, you know, taking care of us. It's a great union. Great union. And I get insurance. Like, that blows my mind. Health insurance. So grateful for that. And it's good insurance.
It is good insurance. Yay, SAG-AFTRA.
Yeah, thank you, SAG-AFTRA. But, you know, yeah, so the loopholes that the contracts are kind of creatively going through, it's taking advantage of the performer.
Yeah, things that used to be lucrative in the past are not always lucrative these days. It's just very interesting, and you just have to really keep your eyes on it.
Yeah, and also, this business is definitely about perseverance. For sure. That's another thing my dad would always say. Perseverance. Good advice. My dad gave me some good advice.
Yeah.
Because I think that's very important, obviously. And also, like, women my age, actors my age, will joke and say, I started working because I just never left. You know, like, I'm not leaving. Eventually I'm going to work.
Yeah.
And I think that's true for me and true for a lot of commercial actors.
You're doing okay, though. So thank you. I'm thinking about your most recent big set of roles, which is to say one role in two different blockbuster movies, Descendants. How was that?
So much fun. I remember going to the audition and I saw Cameron Boyce there, and just, I was like, I know him. And I wasn't able to place him because I wasn't into Disney Junior at the time, but now my family's very much into Disney Junior because of my 7-year-old. I went to the audition and I thought, I am not the fairy godmother. That just doesn't, she's like 60. And I remember thinking, I'm just not right for the part. But then the energy of the audition got me really excited, and I just went in there and I had so much fun. And then I heard that I was, you know, being considered, and then I feel it was like, so I had one audition for it.
That's it?
That's it. Yeah.
Same with Brenna. That's astonishing. Whereas most of the other ones went through, like, you know, 7 layers. That's amazing.
Even Dove?
Dove, she went through a few.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting.
It was not a done deal.
I mean, they're different levels. Like, I mean, I can understand why they would work so hard to find just the right actor for the job. So I found out that I was, you know, sort of pinned, as they say, for the part. But I didn't find out for a good... I mean, it could have been 3 months. I doubt it. But it was a long time. At least a good month, 2 months. So, that was so much fun. And then working on the first one, and I'm a huge fan of Kristen Chenoweth, and that was really cool watching her. And then again, I always say this, but it was like, I was so blown away by those, I call them kids.
I call them kids.
Okay. But I don't want to be disrespectful.
I know. They're young adults.
Young adults. The young humans. They blew my mind. All of them. And then the dancers work so hard. Those dancers blow my mind too. Because they don't get a lot of the accolades that the stars do. And they are working so hard. And there's a huge part of the story. Even if you don't see that when you watch the movie, they are there for the rehearsals. There's like a lot of blood, sweat, and tears happening in... Probably not tears, but... Because it was good times.
But it was a good time, worked. But at the end of the day, people were sore.
Ooh, were they might have been tears. Sore. They yeah. worked so hard. It was so cool to watch it. It blows me away, the talent that's in this, the Descendants.
What an experience.
Yes.
So,
and also working with Kenny Ortega. Oh. I mean, it's really cool.
He's a joy. He's just a remarkable human being.
He is. And he also likes Yorkies. I mean, so there's that. I feel really lucky and grateful to, and blown away, really. I'm like, how did I get that part? I don't know, but that's nice I did.
You know, you're funny and fabulous.
Thank you.
Fairy godmother.
Well, but that's the part of the business that's shocking, too. You know, and thank you, by the way. But, like, I'm having fun. Like, I'm just having fun. And that's what's, I love that. And you can see that when people are having fun, like in, you know, when you're watching the comedians, like Bridesmaids.
Oh,
yeah.
You
can tell that they are having fun.
Yeah. No, those are my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Where it's just so obvious that the actors are having so much fun. And it's contagious.
It was like Meryl Streep in Out of Africa. You could tell she was just totally having fun. I'm just kidding.
Maybe not. But that was a good movie. Well, so if you weren't an actor,
yeah,
what do you think you would be doing?
If I was not an actor, what would I be doing? I would be designing. I love home. I love... like smart design, I'm very much obsessed with, not tiny house, because that seems like 200 square feet seems really intense. But small house living, I'm very passionate about because, you know, we are building these huge homes, and I know that the people living in these homes are not, you know, using most of their space. they are living in the kitchen and the living room, and then their, you know, maybe their bedrooms. But so I am. I love smart design, and I love small spaces. We live in a very small space, and we've done some really fun things as far as like creating a banquette that is also like our bookshelf that divides the dining area from the living area, the family room. And I just, I'm really, that excites me. Color excites me. Art excites me. Just makes me so happy. I love, yeah, that, if so, I would be doing that. I would be doing design. I would be an architect. I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for young people who want this life?
Well, it's theirs to have. It is theirs to have, because if you know it in your heart, you just keep taking the next step. And, yeah, it will happen. And also, you have to take classes. It's very important. It's empowering. You know, and I look at the triple threats that started at a very young age. I mean, that's just a gift too. But that, if you got that under your belt, that's pretty impressive. That will be very helpful.
Yeah, you don't have to be a triple threat to succeed, but it doesn't hurt.
Does not hurt. No. No, I don't dance and I don't sing and I'm working. How are we doing?
We are doing great. Anything else you'd like to share?
Oh, so much I want to share. I'm watching these documentaries. No. But I am obsessed with documentaries. I'm obsessed with small house living and, you know, just kind of trying to be good to Mother Earth and not use up so much space and electricity. And but I know that doesn't have to do with acting. So what advice do I... Yeah, just do it. If you know in your heart that this is what you want to do, so just do it. Just ask questions, get in class, or be a triple threat. Start at 5 years old. Start dancing and singing and acting.
And start now, even if you're not five.
Even if you might be 44. I'm not saying I'm 44, I'm just saying, you know, any age.
Any age, I agree.
Especially today, and we're very open to allowing people to change their minds and change their careers and do what they love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can change it up at any time.
Yeah.
Melanie, thank you so much for taking
Bonnie,
the time.
Thank you, this was so fun.
Oh, before I let you go,
oh yeah,
how can people find you?
Oh, thank you for asking. So, Melly Paxson is, I think, my, you know, oh, this is another thing. It is Melly Paxson. So, I've hired somebody to do my social media work, and I don't regret that at all. And it's so important.
Well, unless you love doing it yourself and you're good at it, but tons of people
course.
Hate it and aren't good at it, so that's a good solution.
I am Melly Paxson, MellyPaxson, and I originally was Melanie Paxson, but somebody stole it, and then they wanted me to buy it from them.
Oh, that's horrible.
I'm not going to do it. It happens a lot.
So you're Melly Paxson on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook
yes.
all the way across.
And it's super important. Social media is super important. I think I booked a couple commercials because of my followers on Instagram.
Okay, take note. It's not nothing. It's actually becoming a contractual part of a lot of actors' jobs.
Yes,
is to work their part on social media. So you need to take it seriously.
And that's hard because it feels very like self-absorbed and I mean, I'm working real hard to get a decent angle on my little selfies. Do you know what I mean? Like
I'm bad
even
at it still.
Kim Kardashian works hard, and she. You know, they do a whole bunch of editing to their little pictures.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's what's hard about it. Also, like, revealing too much about yourself, your private life, that feels a little invasive at times.
There's a fine line. There's a really fine line. And to me, there's a real art to knowing where you're sharing something that's personal and authentic, that shows people a little window into your true self, versus going a little too far and maybe violating the sacred in terms of your life, like something that really should stay private.
Right.
You know, some things, there's a line that is better not to cross. And it takes people a while to find that line, I think.
Yeah. I mean, thank God we did not have it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful.
Yeah. So it's nice to be able to kind of get that line figured out before you have a ton of followers. Or you can make any mistakes when there's only, you know, 10 people watching or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. It is interesting. And I see crazy things on Facebook. People opening up with a lot of information.
Yeah, just everybody needs to take to heart. And I think it's really hard for young people, especially who are truly digital natives and who have never known a pre-digital world. But just literally assume that anything you put out there on any social media whatsoever, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, you name it, the minute it's out there, it is out there forever. Don't ever think you can get it back, because you really, really can't. So just think twice, you know, think twice, give it a beat before you push send or publish. And if you're not sure about it, then maybe, you know, maybe when, just step back and don't
when
post.
In doubt, leave it out. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's important. So everybody go follow Melanie.
Thank you.
And we can't wait to see what you do next.
I've got some commercials running. Watch out. I just did a Hotels.com commercial and that was funny. I'm a crazy fan. For a host, like on the Hotels.com commercial, it's very funny. I kind of am like a Chris Farley. It's not that crazy, but she's crazy.
All right. Crazy Melanie Paxson on Hotels.com. I will be watching for you, and I'll be watching for you in other exciting places too.
I did just do an episode of Speechless.
Oh!
Which was the best set that... I don't know if you know the premise of the show. It's about a family, and they deal with their oldest son or middle child is special needs, and he can't speak, so he has an aide that helps him out. But there are many special needs actors on set, and the love that was on that set was mind-boggling, and I mean, real. It was real. That was a cool thing that happened in my career. That episode, that set is pretty awesome.
I think I heard an NPR story about it early on when they were first starting to either shoot it or run it. And I remember thinking it sounded really, really exciting. Okay, so we'll look for you on Speechless as
Scott, well, it was a guest star. But Scott Silvery... I hope I'm saying his name right, and I believe I am. He wrote it, and it's semi-autobiographical. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's yeah. Mm-hmm. You say it for me.
semi-autobiographical?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And because his brother had cerebral palsy, and that's what the lead of this show, who is so cool, and his mom is there, and it was just such a cool experience working on that set.
I love that. Well, I will totally look for it now.
That's what's real about life. That's what's real. It's about, I know I keep saying this, but it's about human connection. And never lose sight of that, because it's not really that glamorous. You know what I mean? It sure looks glamorous, but it's not.
It's about work and human connection.
Yeah. And when you're really lucky, you get to tell amazing stories, which that's the coolest thing about this business, is telling wonderful stories. And also, like, historical stories. And, you know, getting to learn from these stories that we're watching. I love that part about the business.
I do, too. I think art is so critical to just sharing what it is to be alive.
Mm.
Yeah.
Dang. It can be hard sometimes.
Yeah. It's not always pretty.
I mean, yeah. But, and that's what why you need the human connection.
Yeah. And art to uplift us.
Exactly. Well said. Melanie. Bonnie, I love you. Thank you too. So much. I could talk to you for hours, but like talk about other things.
I know.
Other than acting.
We'll talk about other things off tape.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you enjoy this podcast, subscribe. Go to BonnieJWallace.com and sign up on the podcast page to get exclusive, inspirational stories and insider info sent to your inbox every week. If you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. And for one-on-one coaching that can save you literally thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, book an hour consultation with me over Skype or in LA. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and click on the consultation page. For about the same price of an hour with an acting coach, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Thanks. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.